Good morning. If you take a moment to consider it, modern medicine is amazing in how far it's come. Back in the year 1780, ships full of settlers from Europe would arrive in America, and many of those settlers were carrying a disease called smallpox. The disease was painful, it could kill you, and it was also viciously infectious. Now, 200 years after that, in the year 1980, the World Health Organization officially declared that smallpox had been eradicated from the planet. Other diseases, like polio and measles, which used to be common, now have vaccines that prevent people from ever getting them in the first place. People with amputated limbs have the option of increasingly realistic and versatile prosthetics. Cochlear implants allow deaf people and hearing-impaired people to hear. Even if you need to have your heart replaced, modern medicine can do that too. Now, none of this was true 2,000 years ago. None of this amazing modern medicine that we have was even close to existing. Back then, if you caught a disease like leprosy or smallpox, there was a good chance that you were going to die. If you were at work and you got maimed in an accident, you were crippled for life. There wasn't really anything you could do about it. And if you were deaf or blind or had some other disability, that was something that you really just had to deal with and hope that you had friends or family that were willing to help you. Even today, with all the amazing strides that the field of medicine has made, we can't cure everything. But what if we could cure everything? What if one morning you turned on the TV to the news and there was a reporter saying that scientists had found a miracle cure that could cure absolutely everything? It would seem like a miracle. It'd almost be too good to be true. They wouldn't be able to make the drug fast enough to keep up with the demand for everybody who would want it. Well, 2,000 years ago, the world did have that cure. But it wasn't a drug, wasn't a vaccine, wasn't any kind of treatment. It was a human being. When Jesus Christ, our Savior, walked this earth as a human being, he cured hundreds, if not thousands, of people from every kind of disease and disability. In our sermon reading this morning, we'll find Jesus doing something that he did very often, healing somebody from a sickness or a disability. But this morning we'll also consider the bigger picture mission of Jesus as well. Today we'll see how Jesus' word is what makes a person well. It gave physical healing to the man at the pool of Bethesda, and it also gives spiritual healing to the entire world. We're reading this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of God. Now, just before this account in our reading this morning, Jesus had performed another miracle of healing. A nobleman from the city of Cana had come to Jesus and asked him to cure his son, who was lying at home and was sick and was on the verge of dying. And without touching or even seeing the child, Jesus simply spoke, and the boy was healed. Even at this early point in Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus was already gaining a reputation for being someone who could perform the miraculous. But the healing of the nobleman's son was done in Cana, a city in Galilee. Now, in Israel, back in the time of Jesus, Galilee was commonly considered a place of spiritually backward people. It was in Galilee that you perhaps had the greatest chance of running into people who worshipped idols instead of the true God. If you really wanted a miracle to get noticed and talked about, you wouldn't do it in a place like Galilee. But Jesus' goal and aim of performing miracles wasn't to make a spectacle in order to impress people or to gain powerful friends in high places. Instead, Jesus' miracles were meant to draw attention to the fact that he was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, come to fulfill the law and to take away the sin of the entire world. And part of that fulfillment of the law was the observance of the various Jewish religious festivals. And this is what drew Jesus away from Galilee and up to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus came to Jerusalem for the purpose of celebrating the festival, but that didn't mean that he wouldn't stop to help a person in need. And what better place in Jerusalem to find somebody in need than at the Pool of Bethesda? Now, the pool was located on the northeast side of Jerusalem and had a very special reputation of its own. Verse 4 of our text says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had." If there was anything during Jesus' lifetime that could have been advertised as a cure-all, the Pool of Bethesda would have been it. Complete healing, just as long as you're the first person to step into a pool, seems almost too good to be true. Now, if that pool existed today, there'd be a waiting line that stretched for miles, all just for a chance at having your body healed. But that's where the healing stopped for the pool, in the body. If a person were fortunate enough to step in the water after it was agitated and to be first to step in, his body would be healed, but the spiritual state of that person would still be the same. Jesus came to offer much more than just simple body healing. It's no wonder, though, that the pool at Bethesda was a very popular spot in Jerusalem. Speaking of the porch areas that bordered all around the pool, the gospel writer John says in verse 3, "In these, that is the porches, lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water." The place was filled with people in desperate need of help. many of the people laying there likely had no other option and no other hope than to be healed at that pool. Consider a couple of those phrases again. People in desperate need of help. No other hope and no other option. Do those sound like phrases that describe you? The truth is that they describe all of us. Sure, none of us might be as dangerously sick as or disabled as those people that lay all around the pool of Bethesda. However, consider those phrases from a different angle. As far as it concerns your soul, are you someone who is in desperate need of help? Each of us can stack up our lives against what God expects of us and gain some perspective about just how lost and how broken we really are. We can see all the times that we have failed to speak or to do kindly to somebody else. We can remember every time that something else in our lives was more important than God and a bigger priority than Him. And whether it's gossiping, lying, improper sexual thoughts, or any other sin, looking at God's law shows us that our souls, by nature, are crippled, deformed, and sick. What options do we have then? How can we possibly be healed from the corruption and infection of sin that consumes our souls? Well, for the crippled man, in our reading, the pool of Bethesda seemed to be his only option. Even then, though, healing always seemed just out of his reach. He explained to Jesus in verse 7, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Imagine the frustration of that man trying day after day and time after time to get into the pool first, but only to have someone beat him there every time. The pool was so close, but the healing must have seemed incredibly far away. Natural man often tries to imagine and scheme up ways to either avoid his sin or to try to overcome it all by himself. Now, some people tell themselves that they only have to be better than other people in order to get to heaven. Others convince themselves that if they tally up enough good works, if they have a big enough pile of good words and good deeds in the world, that they'll be able to pay back God, pay off their debt, and enter heaven that way. There are still other people who try to water down the just and righteous God and to just make him seem like a very kind and understanding old man who doesn't really care that much about sin and winds up accepting everybody in the end anyway. But whatever a person tries to tell himself about who he or she is as a person or about who God is, it is a lie if it does not come from Holy Scripture. And it's a sinister and deadly lie that makes salvation from sins and heaven seem so close to somebody, when in fact it is so far away. And the stark truth is that God demands and he expects perfection from us in keeping his commandments. And anything less than perfection is sin. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that death is the worst kind of death. That death that awaits the unrepentant sinner is having both their body and their soul separated from God forever in hell, where there is only fear and pain and suffering. Since this is the God that all people, including us, have to answer to, what hope do we have? For that man who sat for so long beside the pool of Bethesda, what hope did he have? The answer to both of those questions came in the form of Jesus and his word. All Jesus had to say to the crippled man was, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Jesus' words were all he needed to stand up straight and to walk around like he hadn't been able to for 38 years. Imagine his relief. Imagine how he could probably barely contain his excitement and his joy. What had been his greatest wish for so long and had seemed just beyond his grasp, Jesus made it come true. In a similar way, that is what Jesus did for the entire world. Jesus offers the forgiveness that he performed on the cross for us to each believer. Jesus came to each believer and said, "I know how great your sins are. I know how black and stained your soul is. I still love you. I came to save you. Don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. I have taken all your sins away. Your soul is healthy again." Jesus was perfect in every way that we have failed. Jesus kept every commandment of God where we have broken them. Jesus shouldered every sin of every person of all of human history and carried it with him to the cross. Because of Jesus' suffering, his death, and his resurrection, God the Father looks at us and all he sees is righteousness. Because of Jesus, God the Father sees us as his perfect children. While we're still alive on earth, there will never be any end to diseases. People will always get sick. Their bodies will fail. And eventually, one by one, if Judgment Day doesn't come first, death will claim each and every person. However, for the Christian who dies in the Lord, they will never be claimed by eternal death. For a child of God, death is only the beginning of a much happier life. By his word, Jesus gave the man at the pool of Bethesda healing in his body. But for every Christian, the word of God is what gives healing to our souls and brings us to heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.